The epistle for Holy Thursday is from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, the 11th chapter. For brothers, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you who are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's a well-known plantation song that asks a seemingly simple question: were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when the hour had come for the Son of Man to suffer and to die at the hands of sinful men? The hour when they nailed him to a tree, when they laid him in the tomb. We might add, were you there in the upper room? Did the Lord wash your feet? And if not, then do you have any part with him? This hour was crucial for Jesus. This was the time for salvation to be accomplished and won for us. That is what he would do the very next day, tomorrow, Friday of Passover week. This is what he would do on a green hill far away called Calvary, long, long ago. But so tell me now, were you there? Were you there when they crucified your Lord? I don't think that you were. So what really is the point then of that question in that song? It's very much like another phrase that I hear Christians say a lot. They say to people, "You need to come to the foot of the cross and be saved." But how? How? Can you build a time machine somehow and travel back to be there for the events of Christ's passion and resurrection? Of course you can't. So why do we talk like this? I suppose the best construction is that maybe it's just an expression. We mean to say that you should trust in Jesus. You should trust in the salvation that was accomplished and won on the cross. That's true enough. But I fear that the people who say this mean it for the worse. I fear that these sayings are simply sentimentalities. They are pulling at your heart strings to make you desire an experience. It is a gooey and drippy emotional plea for you to make a pilgrimage. Were you there? The Roman Church has long offered the next best thing to being there. You can go even to this day to Rome or to Venice or to a town in Spain and many other places, and you can go and see pieces of the true cross, chunks of the very wood on which Jesus died. Or at least so that's what they claim. And who knows? Maybe some of those pieces really are the real thing. But how do you know that they are going to deliver what Jesus accomplished with them to you? Even if you could go and see, or maybe even touch, Jesus' actual cross, the question the song asks is still, were you there for it? Instead, maybe then you should book a trip to Jerusalem, to the Holy Land, to be closer to God. You should go and you should celebrate Holy Thursday, not here in North Dakota, but in the upper room, in the one that they found. They think it might even be the one Jesus spent that night in. You certainly should go and spend your Good Friday at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which has recently been restored and excavated, and the archaeologists are quite certain that it is authentic and that it is where our Lord was for a short time buried. But no, I don't think that's what the psalm means, that you should take a vacation. No. These phrases are urging you to make only a mental pilgrimage, to use your minds, to imagine and to meditate on these things, but maybe to use other helps. Do it with the aid of movies or inspirational books. That is how you're going to find meaning this Holy Week, they would say. That is how you will get close with God, and you will connect up with His salvation. Dear friends, there is hardly any difference between this kind of talk and all of the stuff of ancient superstition and paganism. And all of this is alive and well right now in the 21st century, right here in America, among the people that you know and grew up with, and among the authors that you read. Here's the serious problem with it. Happy thoughts do not forgive sinners. They do not make people right with God. They do not make us right with each other, any more than if you were to go to a famous place, or if you were to go and touch a famous bone or relic, that would make you a saint out of a pilgrim. Is this the best that we can do, dear Christians? What is the comfort in remembering a 2,000-year-old historical event that you never experienced and never can? That is not memory. That is fantasy. The particular cross of Jesus, for as much as we know, is gone. Melted away, rotten away over many years. Golgotha, if you go there today, looks absolutely nothing like what it did in Jesus' day. It's got two giant churches built on top of each other. You won't hear any screams or cries or mocking laughter on that hill today. And even if you could, fill your mind with all the sights and sounds of Holy Week. You can ask any child in the room what kind of a pilgrimage you are making. You are pretending. I am sorry to say, dear Christians, that you have often been sold a pretend Savior by many religious preachers and songs. They have been pulling at your heartstrings with songs about the old rugged cross that you should be devoted to, or a tree on a green hill a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and even nothing but the blood of Jesus, they will say. But they are not giving you the authentic experience that they are urging you to have. And have you noticed in these songs, they never get beyond singing about old news and things that you were not there for. I'm not even sure they're true. The only thing that's rugged about a cross is that it outlives the victims who die on it to be used for the next guy. And then again, even that method of execution is antiquated now. Medieval standards of torture find it to be a bit too much. The hill was never green. Never. Calvary might sound like a very nice word. Calvary is Latin for skull. And it is every bit as ugly a word as the Hebrew word is, Golgotha. Even blood, which absolutely can save lives, even blood is useless if it remains in the other person's veins, or if it's just poured out onto a rock, or even if it were prepared, ready to go in a transfusion bag, sitting there outside of Jerusalem in 30 AD. But here's the problem. Our sins are right here. Our hardships are today. They're now. Our suffering, our sadness, our griefs, our shame, our depression. These are happening right now, right here. They are present. They are very real. They are not pretend. You need a Savior today, a real one. Not a Savior 2,000 years ago. Not just a Savior in a heartwarming song or in a fleeting, temporary, and emotional thought. Now take a minute then to consider again that Negro spiritual's question honestly. I think you'll find it's a frightening one. Were you there? Well, you weren't. So how then can you be certain of what Jesus did? How can you be certain that what he did was meant for you? How can you reap the benefits of his dying on the cross? What good is it to you? How can you receive it? Even if you had been there, even if you had a perfect memory of everything that happened on this weekend, 2,000 or close to it years ago, what would it matter? What would it matter if you remembered it? The question is, how do you know that God still remembers it? Were you there? I think the song should go on to sing, "No!" I'm not surprised that it caused its writer to tremble. Dearly beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not tremble tonight. Do not be afraid. Your Lord Jesus does not ask you if you were there. You do not need that experience. You need only to hear the blessed news that your sins, not you, only your sins were there. But the very point of the thing is that he was there in your place instead of you. He does not tell you to go to the foot of the cross. He does not sing you songs of green hills and city walls, because he is not a long time ago or far, far away. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And in the same way also, he took the cup. And he instituted his holy supper. what we call the sacrament of the altar and Holy Communion. And he speaks words to you now, today, and often, many times. Take, eat. Take, drink. This is my body. This is my blood. And it is given and shed for you. And not was given. Is given. Is given for you. These are the words of Jesus Christ's last will and testament, bequeathing to you the living and life-giving body and blood of no less than God. That means that to eat and to drink them delivers to you all of the benefits and possessions of God, right to you, true holiness and righteousness for you, true peace and comfort for you, true life and salvation, which is the forgiveness of your sins. He himself said that night that he wouldn't eat or drink of it with them again until it was fulfilled, accomplished, and won in the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus did on his cross. That is where everything was accomplished and fulfilled entirely for you. Just as he himself says in his last dying breath, he says, "It is finished. It's done. It's accomplished." So the question is not, were you there? The question is, how do I receive it? Where does this Jesus who has done it all for me deliver that salvation to me? Not then, but now. Not there, but here. Today, for you. This very hour. In his sacrament. Our God, here he gives the blessings of Christ, our crucified Lord, everything that he accomplished, now is delivered and distributed to you. Jesus does not want you to think or to hope or to feel, even with great trembling, that your sins were forgiven. No, he wants you to know. He wants you to be certain that they are forgiven. And so just as he soaked into you in baptism, just as he takes up residence in you through his word in your ears by which the Holy Spirit is at work, so he also wills to dwell in you and you in him through this holy eating and drinking in faith. Dear saints, our God is not pretend. Our Savior is not long ago or far away. He is not a myth. Neither, though, is he a happy thought or a nice song. He who accomplished and won our salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the remedy for every shame and sadness, he did it on the cross, but he is not abstract or imaginary. He delivers. Tonight again, he earnestly desires that you eat this supper with him, that you receive him as he has promised to be given to you in his holy body and his precious blood. Here you have something that is far greater than a reenactment, or a ritual, or a pilgrimage, or just a happy thought. Here we taste the true Passover lamb, roasted to perfection on the cross. His blood is spread on the door frames of our bodies. It's even poured into our mouths, and death passes us over.
God is not found today on a cross or in our fond memories. No, he delivers. After all, lambs are meant to be eaten. So by all means, meditate on Christ's passion. We've been doing it all Lent on Wednesdays. We will do it again tomorrow. Live every aspect of your life in remembrance of him, that is, trusting in him and in what he has done for you. Behold tomorrow the unveiled cross, and worship not wood, but worship him, as our acclamation says. But if, dear saints, you want salvation, if you want certainty, if you need it for real, if you have sinned and you need forgiveness, if you are shamed and dirty and need cleansing, if you are weighed down by any sorrow, if you are depressed, if you are weary, do not tremble or regret that you were not there. Rejoice and be comforted that Jesus is here, delivering everything that he has done to you. Don't go to any cross. Don't seek out any experience. Go to his altar. Go to his supper. Because this is where you will find salvation that is given to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.